Today's Torah portion is not exactly a pretty one. We have pretty portions in the Bible. The Lord lays me down in green pastures. I mean, that's pretty, right? Or the vision of Ezekiel with the river flowing from the throne of God, from the temple, and getting deeper and deeper. And, you know, that beautiful picture of the river even making the Dead Sea come to life, that's pretty, right? In this week's Torah portion, we get to talk about boils and skin diseases and things like that. So it's not pretty, but it is there nonetheless, and of course, it has deep meaning. Leviticus 13, verses 18 through 23. When the body has a boil on its skin, and it has healed, and in the place of the boil there is a white swelling, or a bright spot, reddish white, then it shall be shown to the priest. The priest shall examine it. Behold, if its appearance is deeper than the skin, and its hair is turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. It has broken out in the boil. But if the priest examines it, and behold, there are no white hairs in it, and it isn't deeper than the skin, but is dim, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days. If it spreads in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. But if the bright spot stays in its place and hasn't spread, it is the scar from the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. So, not exactly, you know, bedtime story stuff. Mom, Dad, I'm having a nightmare. Well, let me read to you about boils from Leviticus chapter 13. Not that kind of reading, right? But first of all, it's there because it's practical, right? The ancient Israelites needed a way to keep tzara'at, this skin disease often translated as leprosy, although it's not exactly what we think of as leprosy today, but they to keep this from spreading, right? And so certain people had to be quarantined so that it wouldn't spread. So it had a very practical purpose. You go to the priest inspects not just the boil, you know, I chose this portion about the boil for a reason we'll see later, but, you know, just, you know, I've got these spots, and the priest inspects it, okay, it's too deep. You need to go off for 7 days and then come back, I'll reinspect it. Or whatever the case may be. How deep is it? How deep does this skin disease go? Is it tzara'at? Is it leprosy, or is it just a surface level changing of skin color or something like that? And the parallel to this is obvious, and I'm sure many, many people before me have made the parallel between this idea of the skin disease being taken before the priest and our lives being taken before the Lord. Lord, examine my life, right? Lord, examine my life as the priest would examine those with skin disease. Let's take a look at James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. In the Tree of Life Bible, it's the book of Jacob, which is probably a better translation than James, but most of us are used to James. James 1, 21 through 25. He says this, "Therefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with humility the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not only hearers, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his natural face in a mirror. For he sees himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law or perfect Torah of freedom and continues, not being a hearer who forgets, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in what he does." Okay? So one way that we need to be examined is in light of the Word of God, in light of the Scriptures. The Scriptures say that I should be an honest person. Am I honest? When I look into the Scriptures and I see that reflection, I've got to be on. I have to be careful what I say. Am I a blesser or a curser? Am I a praiser or a complainer? The scriptures teach us about these heart attitudes and about right from wrong. And I need scripture. I need to look into scripture as if into a mirror, see what I'm supposed to be, see where I'm measuring up, where I'm not measuring up, and then going and doing it. Doesn't matter if you read 5 chapters a day, it matters, am I looking into scripture, allowing the Lord to speak into my life, where what needs to change in me? And then going and being a doer of that rather than just a hearer. The Sadducees needed to hear it, right? The Sadducees, we've talked about before, you know, there were various sects within Judaism. Judaism was not monolithic during the day of Yeshua. It wasn't monolithic after the day of Yeshua. It's not monolithic today, right? There's many branches of Judaism, many different thoughts and theologies, and the Sadducees were wrong in a lot of aspects. For one, they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They did not believe in angels. They basically, it was this life and then that's it, right? And so they thought, you know, they've got the Torah, right? The 5 books of Moses. They think they've got it down pat. They're going to go to Yeshua, and they're going to question him in a way that they think he's not going to be able to answer. Matthew 22, verse 23 through 32. On that day, the Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Yeshua. They asked him, saying, Rabbi, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us 7 brothers. The first married and died, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. In the same way, the second also, and the third to the 7th. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will she be of the 7? For they all had her. But Yeshua answered them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures. In other words, let the scriptures, let the power of the scriptures come into your life and get you right here, because you're not right. You don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like God's angels in heaven. You've underestimated the resurrection. First of all, you think the resurrection is just going to be like this life renewed. This life renewed, yes, but renewed in a far greater way, made like it's supposed to be made. You don't understand the scriptures. You don't understand the power of God. Continuing with verse 31. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, haven't you read that which was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Right? God says, I am, present tense, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, long after they've died, right? He's saying they're resurrected. God is the God of the living and not the God of the dead. He could have used many prophets to make his point, but since they majored in Torah and largely rejected the prophets, he used words that they would consider scripture. And he's spoken to their lives truth from the scriptures that should have changed their whole worldview. And we need that ourselves, right? We may not be so off base that we think there's no resurrection, but we're off base, all of us. As soon as anybody, rabbi, congregant, anybody says, I got it all figured out, I don't need the word of God to speak into my life, right? Kids have this view. Right, kids that grow up in believing homes, well, I've heard it all. Yes, I know, Yeshua loves me. He died for my sins, yada, yada. No, you need the power of the scriptures to speak into your life. You need the Spirit of God to open up the scriptures to you so that you can change. Right? We all should be changing. We should be looking into that mirror, not walking away, forgetting, okay, did my scripture study today? No big deal. The power needs to be there, right? The power of change in the scriptures. And so interact with the scriptures. You need to take time. I need to take time to interact with the scriptures. And it's far, in my opinion, far less important how much you read than what you get out of it, right? Nobody's going to be impressed, or if they are impressed, it doesn't matter anyway. How many chapters of the Bible you read, okay? If it's not changing your life, better to read a paragraph and interact with it and understand it deeply and fully and walk away a changed person than to read five chapters and be the same negative person you were before you started reading, right? So let the scriptures change your life, okay? Usually a paragraph's not enough, you know, but sometimes it might be. It might be. If the Lord convicts you on a paragraph in the Bible and you walk away a changed person, that may be enough for that day, okay? The important thing is look into that mirror, like the person coming before the priest, and let him examine your life. Where is the sin? Where is the good? Where do you need the encouragement? Let the scriptures be a tool by which God examines your life and you self-examine. Okay, so that's the first way. The second way is we've got to be in touch with the Spirit of God. You've got to be in touch with the Spirit of God. I've known people that knew the scriptures incredibly well, better than I knew the scriptures. They could quote this, they could quote that, but there was no evidence, as far as I could tell, of the true Spirit of God in their lives, right? No sensitivity to what the Spirit is clearly doing. No sensitivity to the people they're talking to. No sense of genuine love there. We've got to have the Spirit of God in our lives. I'm going to head into one of the more controversial passages in Scripture. Okay, maybe the most. Matthew 12, verse 31 and 32. Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, Yeshua is referring to himself, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, neither in this age nor in that which is to come. That's stark stuff there, right? I mean, that's, and people often wonder, you know, I thought an evil thought about God. Did I blaspheme against the Spirit of God? Am I doomed to hell? Okay? Because this is stark stuff, and we need to understand what Yeshua is saying here. We need to understand the context, and I think another portion is going to help shed some light on this as well. Yeshua, in this time, he's working miracles, right? He's working miracles by the Spirit of God. And some of the Pharisees are saying he's doing this by the power of Beelzebul. He's doing this by the prince of demons. So they're attributing what Yeshua is doing by the Spirit to Satan. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. But let's head over to another portion as well that I think will shed some light. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. For concerning those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify the Son of God for themselves again and put him to open shame. My first couple of weeks after having started Tikvat Ami, a lady called me and she said, you know, she's been struggling with this passage here. And she said, I was a strong believer. I was anointed of the Lord and I fell away and I rebelled. I'm not sure I can get back in because of this passage here, right? I've tasted these things, right? And then it says in verse 6, and if they fall away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. Okay? And I wish I knew then what I knew now. I gave her an answer the best I could come up with. But I think the key word here is repentance, right? If you cannot come to repentance, then you're too far. Okay? That means you can't be renewed again unto repentance. Doesn't mean that it's impossible for God to forgive you. It means your heart has become so hard that you can't repent. As long as you can repent, you're okay, right? But if you blaspheme against the Spirit of God, if you see the Spirit of God at work, and you say, no, it's not God, it's Satan. Or, like, what did they say in Acts chapter 2? The disciples are speaking in foreign tongues. People are hearing in their own tongue and being able to understand the message of God. And many, many become believers that day. But if you say, no, they're just what? Well, they're just drunk, right? They're attributing what the Spirit of God is doing to alcohol, okay? I had a friend back in Virginia. He wasn't Jewish, but he was a strong part of our Messianic synagogue. And he decided he wanted to convert to Judaism. So he started going to the Orthodox synagogue. Started to question his faith in Yeshua. And he said to me, Josh, I don't hear God's voice anymore like I used to hear God's voice. Well, isn't that a warning sign? But he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen to me, the rabbi, anybody. Kept going to the Orthodox synagogue, decided Yeshua is not the Messiah. Okay? He's there. He's not fully converted yet, just going through the process. He's with his baby in the service. He goes into the lobby area with the crying baby, and somebody walks in off the street. He said, I want to talk to the rabbi. Well, the rabbi's in a service right now. And so the guy turns to walk out, and he looks back at my friend, and he says, why did you stop believing in Jesus? Okay? This guy never met this guy before. And he's like, what? He said, why did you stop believing in Jesus? Right? And then he walked out. And my friend's sharing this story with me and a few others. And then my friend says, I think the guy was probably just drunk. I said, well, that sounds like Acts chapter 2. You're not listening to the Lord. To ignore what the Spirit of God is doing in your life is deadly. It's deadly. That's why he's saying that if you speak a word against the Son of Man, you can be forgiven, but not against the Spirit. Why is he saying that? Because it's the Spirit that opens us up. That's the only way you can believe in the Son of Man, is through the Spirit. If you're not going to listen to the Spirit, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you. So we have got to make sure in our lives that we are submitted to God through the Word and through the Spirit. Lord, I need you to speak into my life. Why do we stop listening? We stop listening maybe because of our favorite sin. Right? I want to do this, and this. And I know it's against the Word of God. I know the Spirit of God is pulling me away from it, but I'm going to self-justify, right? And we start self-justifying, right? And this happens all the time, especially with younger folk and sexual temptation. I'm telling you, we're geniuses when it comes to self-justifying. Right? We can justify anything when the desire is that strong, right? And so we self-justify. What we don't realize is we're closing ourselves off to the work of the Spirit in our lives. We're closing our, instead of going before the judge and opening ourselves up and saying, examine me, we are closing ourselves off. No, it's just a little sore. I don't think it's that deep. We're examining it ourselves. It's just this. It's just skin deep. Right? That's all it is. It's not really sin. It's just skin deep. And so we need to make sure that that doesn't happen. Right? Here's the conclusion. The truth is we've all sinned and we all sin, right? Romans 3:23, this very popular verse, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? And 1 John talks to us as well about if we claim we haven't sinned, we're liars, okay? And his truth is not in us. You got to start with admitting you're sinning. You can't open yourself up if you say it's not sin, right? And Yeshua is a high priest that looks deeply. He looks deeply. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay, what is this sword talking about? Okay, it's probably talking of, alluding to the knife used to cut open the sacrifices, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You gotta let the Lord get to that level, right? Where your thoughts and intentions, not just the skin deep stuff, let him examine your life through the scriptures, through the spirit, and come in there and set you right. If not, it's dangerous, right? I've been there myself, not allowing the Lord to really deal with me on a deep level, and ended up doing harmful things, right? And so we've got to let him examine on that deep, deep level. Okay, here's the good news though. Here's where the parallel between Yeshua as the high priest and the priests in the tabernacle and temple, here's where the parallel breaks down. Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify to the cleanness of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without defect to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What could the old priest do? I think it's something. We need to quarantine you for 7 days. Let's inspect it again. They inspect it again. Okay, you're okay. You can join the community again. I'm sorry you're not okay. You need to be excluded from the community. It could spread. It's dangerous. Okay? It breaks down in that now we have a high priest that can cleanse everything, right? He can get down to that part of dividing the joints and marrow and the soul and the spirit, right? The thoughts and intentions, he can get in there and heal anything and heal everything if we are open. And so with the psalmists in Psalm 139, 23, and 24, we need to say, search me, God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. Be open before the Lord. Don't close yourself off, even in little things, right? Close yourself off, it becomes a habit. We close ourselves off and we start to not hear the Spirit anymore and we begin to fall away. Oh, no, open yourself up, right? Open yourself up before the Lord. Let him speak into your life. And to do this, you need time, right? You need to take time out of every day. Okay, this past week, I was feeling a little... probably the way anybody would feel after teaching 6 classes of middle schoolers who are ready for summer break, right? And so I have to get away, okay? And so I drove down, parked at Lake Jackson, the park of the mounds there, and I walked in the woods, and boy, everything was all right, right? Opening myself up before the Lord, allowing him to take some of that ugliness out and healing me and worshiping. So we need the time. Sometimes in nature, sometimes closing that door, don't answer the phone, open the scriptures, pray, come to services, let the Lord let the Lord search out your life, let him speak into your life, and let us make sure that we take time and have an open attitude to allow him to do that.